Hello and welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games. But this episode, things are going to be a little bit different. We're bringing you a spoiler episode of News to Reviews on The Last of Us Part 2. And joining me for this episode, I have Paul from The Inconsolables. Paul, how you doing, mate?
Hello, I'm doing fantastic. It's good to be here. This is actually my first podcast away from my team, so this is going to be really interesting.
I had no idea. This is you losing your guest, Ginity. Nice. Oh, that's very exciting.
Yes, it's going to be very interesting. A little terrified, but we'll see how we go.
We may as well just jump right on into it with this one. If you want to get my spoiler-free thoughts on The Last of Us Part 2, go back and listen to the episode Penis Cachou with Sam Inns from the Beta Network. That was a couple of weeks ago. It's got my spoiler-free thoughts there and my review score and whatnot. I believe I gave it 69 out of 78 Judy Dench's, so it's a pretty decent score there. There is one brief spoiler in that review there, but I do give fair warning, and there is timestamps in the notes if you want to avoid that too. So yeah, spoiler-free thoughts. Go back and listen to this. This is not going to be that. We are spoiling everything in The Last of Us Part 2 here. So yeah, let's just fucking jump on into it. Now, the first big point I want to hit, and the first big spoiler, and this one I was fortunate enough to not have spoiled for me ahead of time because it came out in the big leaks that The Last of Us Part 2 had before launch there. Did you manage to avoid those spoilers as well, Paul?
Yes, I did not get spoiled at all going into this game. I'm generally fairly good at avoiding spoilers for anything that comes out, unless it's on YouTube and it's in the thumbnail.
Yeah, damn.
Because that happened to me before Devil May Cry 5, where the thumbnail exposed the final boss for me.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, no, fuck YouTube thumbnails. Like, I get the algorithms trying to give you what you want, but fuck, yeah. No,
yeah.
I'm not a fan of when it comes to new games. It's, yeah, bloody risky. So the big spoiler was, Joel dies pretty close to the beginning of The Last of Us Part 2. Now, this was very controversial for a lot of people out there. They were upset. They didn't want Joel to die. It caused a lot of issues, unfortunately, for the voice actress, Laura Bailey. She got a lot of hate online, and just Naughty Dog in general got death threats and all kinds of mess due to them killing this beloved character. Yeah. But look, personally for me, it didn't really come as a massive shock for me. I thought that it was either going to be him or the girl. It was one of the two. And for me personally, I kind of I think they chose the one that had more narrative impact out of the two, because obviously seeing Joel there getting brutally murdered by Abby is very visceral, and if you're a fan of the first game, it's going to affect you a lot, and far more than seeing this character that you haven't had a lot of time with to get to know getting killed. But I guess for me, I guess I would have been happy either way, because one of the things that annoyed me about this particular moment, and you don't find out till later on in the film, it was as part of the repercussion later on in the film in the game. It was part of the repercussions of what Joel did from the first game, where basically spoilers for The Last of Us Part 1, he murders everybody in the hospital there in order to save Ellie, because they were going to kill Ellie in order to get a cure for the disease that is taking over humanity. So yeah, I understand why they did that. It makes sense narratively to do that. I guess I just sort of found it to be the easiest sort of option for someone to want to get revenge on Joel. I know Joel has this really sort of dark history that they talk about in The Last of Us Part 1, where there's all this stuff where they just say he did a lot of things to survive and did a lot of bad things and were involved with a lot of bad people. And I was kind of hoping it would be something to do from that, something new about Joel that we didn't know about yet, to sort of maybe give us a new insight on Joel as a character or something. But yeah, no, they went with doing the obvious one in my opinion, and I don't know. I guess I'm nitpicking issue there. What did you think? Did you think they made the right decision killing Joel and for the right motivations?
I personally think out of the two, Joel was definitely, if they're going to kill someone, Joel's the right one to do. Because from what I've heard from, you know, the LGBT plus community, it's a major trope to kill off the gay love interest. So
just love interest in general. That's a trope, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, killing off Joel and letting, a new character and, the love there, their love actually expand throughout the game, and then of course later on it hits harder when Ellie decides to choose revenge instead of staying with her. I can't remember her name. I'm terrible at remembering names.
Dina.
That sounds
Dina or Nina?
No, definitely a D. I remember a D sound, so Dina, I'm gonna say. Okay. Like I said, terrible at names. And throughout the game you still get glimpses of story from Joel, and there's some really nice moments that I did enjoy. Specifically, I think the one I really enjoyed was the museum section. He takes her on the space shuttle and stuff as well. But now talking about motivations, as you said, it makes narrative sense with the former Fireflies in Afternoon. And thinking back in the last game, which I don't like, I remember the ending. But I'm not sure how it would go on if they chose a new, enemy group to go with. Specifically, because they want you to feel for the antagonist in this one, as we'll talk about later, where you have to play as, what's her name, Amy? I can't remember her name.
Abby,
thank you. Once again, terrible names. so I think that's why they really want that strong connection to the last game, so you know exactly what the motivations are for this character. So to try to make it so you have some sort of understanding, her actions are justified in some way, even though she's killing off a character that everyone really loves. Everyone loves Joel.
Yeah.
So I can see people not liking the choice, and that's fine. But when you get to the point where you're sending death threats and shit to people, then that's not on.
Yeah, I think my thoughts about this, wanting to have different motivations behind it and things like that, is I really just wanted a different narrative overall. I think they picked the right narrative to do what they wanted to do. But I guess this brings us over to our next point. We may as well hit on that because we sort of really touched on it already.
Yeah.
What they wanted to do here was show this revenge story from two perspectives and make you feel for the antagonist. And but they do this by about a little bit over halfway through the game. You switch over which character you play as, and you start playing as Abby, the antagonist who murdered Joel.
Oh my god.
Now look, as far as what they were trying to do there, I honestly do think they achieved it, because at the start of this game, when Abby kills Joel, I'm playing as Ellie and I'm going, yeah, let's fucking kill every one of these motherfuckers. I want to kill Abby. Let's do this, right? I'm down. And then, towards the end of that, you're like, okay, is this worth it? Look at Ellie. She's like almost killing herself to do this. And, it's causing suffering for her. Pregnant misses. There are more spoilers there. And then when Jesse dies, and that's like, yeah, is this all worth it? And then when you play as Abby, by the end of playing as Abby, I was like, yeah, I don't want Ellie to kill Abby anymore. I want to see Abby survive and get through this. So they achieve what they wanted to achieve, I guess, with that there. But the problem with it when you're playing through as Ellie, you have this whole entire story arc in her section of the game. And you play as her for a good 18, I think it was about 18 and a half hours for me. As her as at that point, And I'm, grabbing everything I could to upgrade everything I possibly can. And then you're shoved into the shoes of Abby. And I remember in the first like 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, when's this going to go back to playing as Ellie? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, hang on. There's a fucking upgrade tree. Oh, shit, there's skills. Oh, this is the game now. This is what's happening. And I think for me, it would have been less of a grievance for me if they didn't take away all your fucking weapons. And the thing that annoyed me about that too, narratively, is, and all your upgrades as well too, is she's this absolute monster of a human. She's a beast. She's like built like a brick shit house, right?
Yeah.
They could have just started the game with her already being OP. She works for a giant fucking army, a massive army. You start off the game in a giant fucking army, this portion of the game in a giant army base, and they still strip away all your weapons and everything that you fucking have, to the point where she can't even have a knife.
Yeah.
Somehow Ellie is the only person in the entirety of fucking post-apocalyptic America who can get a functioning knife. Everyone else has to scrape fucking shit together from glass and fucking bandages and shit. My God, sorry, I'm going on a rant at this point. Why did they have to rip all that stuff out? It just felt like I was starting a new game over again. Like
exactly.
I don't understand why narratively they could have given you all those things and explained it away very easily, but yeah, they chose not to and sort of make you start again there. So I'm not sure what the thinking was behind that. I almost think it would have been works better if you rotated the days by character. So you were playing for Ellie one day and then playing for Abby another and then swapping between the two, because then you sort of get a bit more of how the stories interlock for one thing. And for another thing, you won't feel like all of a sudden you're starting from scratch when you have to play as Abby, you know, 18 hours or so into the game. I don't know. What were your thoughts on the character switch up?
Well, you seem to hit everything exactly how I feel. Switching to Abby was the biggest momentum killer that I could think of for a game, because as you said, it's pretty much starting a new game all over again. And
especially after that intense moment in the cinema there as well too.
Exactly.
That was such a strong moment.
And during that part, like, I just unlocked the better explosives for Ellie at that point. I was like, cool, I can't wait to use my new Molotovs and explosives. Oh. And then switched to Abby, I'm like, oh no, I'm starting all over again. And as you pointed out, I found it really weird that the military person doesn't have a knife. Like, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that was probably one of my biggest sticking points. Because the only reason why they went back to, you know, doing the whole shiv, creating a shiv thing, is as a all back to the original game where you had to make shivs.
Yeah, which I didn't like in the original game. I was not a fan of that. when I started playing as Ellie in this one, I thought, yeah, that's way better now. I don't have to create shivs all the time. But nope, yep, they brought it back.
And yeah, and how I felt, because I'm not the biggest fan of Naughty Dog's gameplay a lot. I think this one's is one of my favorites. I actually had a lot of fun in this one, but majority of the time it's like it's most of the time it's cover shooter, like Last of Us 1 and their other Uncharted games. I usually don't find the gameplay that engaging. It's usually all about the story for me for those games. But this time around, the gameplay was really enjoying it. Though the start of it, when you were so limited, wasn't that fun. It was only until I started getting more tools, I was like having a lot more fun. Mm. And then to suddenly be forced back to the start of the game, essentially, I was like, oh no, I want my bow and arrow back. I like my bow and arrow.
Oh, I miss the bow and arrow. And Molotovs? Like,
oh, my Molotovs?
Why can Abby have pipe bombs, but she can't make a fucking Molotov? Like, narratively doesn't make sense. Like, I guess, you know, a military person would be more likely to use pipe bombs.
When you think about it, it's like, what's more complex to make a pipe bomb or a mine? Like a proximity mine that Ellie can create?
God, it doesn't make any sense.
I don't care like so much as like, oh, she Ellie can somehow create a proximity bomb out of plastic bottles and explosive powder. I'm like, cool, gameplay wise, I'm having fun with this, so whatever. But then when you sit there and compare, it's like, I'm now stuck with using a pipe bomb, which I have to throw and it might stun someone, and then it takes a few seconds to go off because it's essentially like a grenade. And I'm just like, I miss my proximity mines.
Yeah, exactly. It's if they had some kind of equivalent for all of them, because I guess the pipe bomb was meant to be the equivalent of the Molotov or whatever. If they had some kind of other trap that Abby could use, it would have made things more interesting and more dynamic. But
Look,
as you touched, sorry, go on.
yeah, sorry. I was just saying, like, we're complaining a lot about Abby's gameplay style, and clearly the developers were trying to make it so she is distinct and unique in her own way from Ellie. But the problem we're having with it is because it chucked us it at it chucked it at us 20 hours into the game, where we're so used to one way of playing, how we've gotten comfortable playing one way. Like, we found our own, unique style of playing with Ellie. We're suddenly forced into a new situation that we didn't really want.
Yeah. Oh no, totally. Whenever because I going back to do the platinum played as Ellie again, and just playing as either character, you were just missing the things from either character that you were missing. So it wasn't I preferred to play as either. I just it was more the only thing that annoyed me with Abby was just having to start over. I still really enjoyed playing as Abby, and it was funny you say that with the combat. Like, generally with a Naughty Dog game, I'm there for the narrative and all the cool cinematic moments. For this one, yeah, the cinematic moments are top notch as per usual, but I found that the gameplay for me was the real standout and the real star of The Last of Us Part 2. They did a thing that I've really been wanting to see in games, where they just fucking dove in so deep on the animations and the visuals, just to make like what could be really simple combat way more dynamic. And like, yeah, it is at the end of the day just cover shooting, but they put things in the environment to make things more dynamic. Like, you can throw a brick in one direction, then run out from that direction, like coming from a different way, and sneak up on an opponent. With Abby, you can get momentum as well if you upgrade her enough as well, so that she can sort of chain together those melee attacks. So yeah, they do play differently, and I like how they play differently. I guess I just sort of,
Yeah. And
miss those elements when I'm playing as the other ones. But yeah, the combat, whoa, yeah, they did such a good job. They really they killed it on that one.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I really enjoyed the combat in this one with all this, like, especially the stealth and stuff. Like, I probably one of my favorite stealth games, even though there's not many stealth games coming out anymore. At least from what at least from what I can tell in the AAA industry. Not really talking about Assassin's Creed here, but yeah, you don't get many of those. But going
I think
back
you're right. I think it's
to
more just lots of games have stealth in it rather than being just straight stealth games.
yeah, and I felt like this was a good stealth game if you play it that way. You didn't have to play it that way. I played it as a stealth
Yes.
game though. Sorry, what you were talking about was you how you thought they should have done it out instead of having like 20 hours and then play another 20 hours. It's like
Yeah, stagger the days back and forth, yeah.
and I agree with you with the, like, instead of, you're playing for the 3 days in Seattle and then suddenly it chucks you back to the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, try to stagger it a bit more, playing between the two characters. Because obviously they're supposed to be a mirror of each other. That's the narrative, I think, the narrative here of these are two of, like, Abby at the beginning is what Ellie could become if she let revenge control her. And that seems to be the whole thing all the way through, to even to the point where Abby eventually gives up on revenge and lets Ellie go in that halfway point, or I'd say halfway point, but near close to the end, where she had the chance to kill Ellie after she, well, it was more Tommy, I think, killed all her friends. But Ellie also, of course, killed Abby's love interest. So, but yeah, she let it go and she left. And it's always been a mirror of Ellie. Essentially, like what Ellie could become if she, held on to this revenge.
It was a cool arc. Like, I liked Abby's story and I liked Abby as a character. I did really enjoy that. It was basically the story from The Last of Us Part 1 again. It was just her redemptive arc, just like Joel had his redemptive arc, and it was brought on by, like, this innocence and this sort of beam of happiness that they find, that they come across, and it formed like some kind of parental bond with. And yeah, I love that story. It was just that it just felt like it didn't need to be there. Like, I got the point that revenge was bad by the end of Ellie's story. And then I had this whole other story just to really drive that point home and just to make me empathize for her character. Like, it seemed unnecessary. Like, it could have just been a DLC or something like that. And one thing that annoys me in just media in general is flashbacks. I'm not a big fan of flashbacks. They can be done right. I thought the HBO Watchmen series, Damon Lindelof's Watchmen series, they nailed flashbacks in that. But
okay,
and I didn't mind the flashbacks with Ellie and Joel because I'm already invested with those characters and I'm hungry for more. I want to know more about their relationship. But then when we were just getting badgered by flashbacks with Abby as well too, I was so not invested in those flashbacks, and I felt like they just made the narrative crawl even more because they're quite extended as well too.
Some of
them, yeah, like they can go up to like half an hour, and like it doesn't sound like that long a time, but when you're walking slowly through a video game space, it does feel like a while, especially if you're not so invested in what's happening. What did you think of the flashbacks?
I don't even say, like, as you mentioned, with like Joel was, I was very invested in those characters. So, you know, I think I even mentioned I really enjoyed the museum scene, seeing Ellie and Joel getting along, and then slowly seeing them sort of break apart throughout the story as Ellie finds out the truth about the ending of The Last of Us 1.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're trying to get at by the end of it, where Joel was taken away from her just as they were just starting to rebuild their relationship. They showed the ending where Ellie, you know, goes to see Joel, and you know, finally it's like, let's start again, like let's start rebuilding a relationship now. And then the next day, I think in the game timeline, that's when Abby kills Joel, which is why she feel like Ellie feels so much rage for this, because you know she. Just finally had that emotional connection. So I thought those flashbacks were good, but as you were saying with Abby, the problem is we had no investment in the character, and we really, at that point, because we've been forced to start a new game, we were just like, I don't care. I really just want, like, I don't care about this character as much. Yeah, after being forced to play with her for like another 20 hours, yeah, you do end up liking the character and caring for the character eventually, but yeah, just after, like, you're sitting there going, is this game ever gonna end? In a way, it feels like it drags on, and the amount of times like the game just goes, there's your objective over there, all the way in distance. I'm going, cool, I've got another probably half hour to an hour of killing guys to get there. Okay.
And I think that's a perfect segue into talking about the ending, because I totally agree with you there. The ending of this game, it just keeps going. I feel like it could have ended at like four different points in the game or something like that. I don't understand. I understand what they were trying to do, but I just think they were just driving the point home way too hard. So After you play through as Ellie and through as Abby, you have a moment where that culminates, where they finally meet and they fight it out, and you play as Abby, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Look, I found the fight to be pretty engaging and all that, that wasn't an issue there. But you know, they have this whole moment where Abby decides not to kill Ellie in the end, and leaves Ellie's pregnant Mrs. Dina to survive as well too, and sort of, you know, that sort of culminates the end of her redemptive arc. And I thought, there we go, oh, that was a good ending to the game, interesting, I like it. And then the game just keeps going. So next you're playing as Ellie and living out this whole happy sort of family fantasy. Until is it Tommy, I think? Yeah, the Uncle Tommy, I believe. He comes back.
He
comes back and is like, I found her, we got to go after her. And then Ellie makes a baffling decision to go after her again. And then the game continues. You go to Santa Barbara, you eventually find Abby. She's been fucking captured and tortured for months and months by these people. What are they called? The Rattlers, I believe they're called. And
there was a script thrown in at the last minute, so they...
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't really get known. They're just a bunch of slavers, basically,
from what I can understand. Yeah, yeah. They're just the most horrific people ever, and she's been through this horrific shit. You can see she's lost all this weight. She looks like she's, you know, on the verge of death anyway. And then Ellie decides again to, like, she's about to leave and let her escape with Lev, I think it is, a little friend Lev.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Ellie makes a decision again to not let it go. So they fight it out until eventually Ellie decides again to just fucking let it go. Oh, okay. So my problem here is, right, like, I get the point they're trying to make. She's revenge is bad. She shouldn't want to do it, and it's not going to make her feel good. Okay. She decides to kill Abby, like, I think, was it 4 times throughout this game? So she initially decides to kill Abby at the start. And then obviously after Abby lets her live, she, you know, goes back to Jackson or whatever, or goes back to this farm. So she's made a decision not to kill her anymore. So there's a, she's there, but then after Tommy comes up, she decides to kill Abby again. So then she goes after Abby, finds her, then decides not to kill her, and then, oh no, changes her mind and decides to kill Abby again. So sorry, not 4 times, but 3 times in this game, she decides to kill Abby. And look, maybe if it was twice, whatever. If it ended with just letting her go away on the boat, that would have been great as well too. But no, she couldn't let it go. And for me, I just didn't understand it in the game. Like, they kind of made it sound like the reason why she had to do this was because she had PTSD and she thought that would fix it. But I've never really heard of that being not that I'm a professional on PTSD. I'm definitely not. But I've never really heard of that being a kind of aspect of PTSD that people need to get revenge out on what caused it. It just seems a bit tenuous to me that would be part of the reasoning why that she would feel she has to go and do this. It went on too long for me. Kind of like what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
how did you feel about all that at the end there?
So I agree with things going for way too long, but there are little bits here and there that I do like from those moments.
Totally,
like, I like seeing the PTSD, seeing like that side of a character that, you know, they're still suffering from that horrible moment and seeing how it affects their daily life. I like those little moments. Does it make sense for her to go, like, even though she's given up on it, to go back to revenge? Maybe. I think it can work. Though, once again, it's just like, it's in there by this time of the game going, when is it going to end? I think that's just the biggest problem. You're just like, you've already been playing this game for so long. Mm. It's like, oh my God. But I think it makes a little bit of sense, because if you're suffering from this traumatic moment and she clearly had not let go of the situation. Mm. And then when given the opportunity, and that's the thing, it was when given the opportunity, it all came back, and it's like I can do this. I have to get rid of it, and maybe it will let me sleep easier at night. Because we don't, like, when you're in that situation, I don't think you know for sure. Like, we're told all the times, like, it won't solve anything. We know, like, it won't solve anything by killing them. It won't make you feel better. But, you know, when you're in that situation, I guess you're hoping for anything to release you from that, from the horrors that you see that night. But yeah, but going to, you know, again, Abby, like, they clearly, like, you played for Abby for so long, so you've seen her survive fucking, like, you know, any other protagonist, or in this case, antagonist that you played through, where they can survive through shit, like, anything, escape out of anything, and then suddenly she's been captured, and then she's been strung up and pretty much weakened to the point where, so she can actually have a fist fight with Ellie. Otherwise, you know, Abby will fucking kick Ellie's ass.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So that felt like, oh, we need to weaken. Funny enough, they gave him. This is what it felt like to me. They need to weaken Abby, so they made her stronger up and made her, like, lose all the weight and muscles and stuff. And it's like, there we go. It's like, oh, well, people might, you know, see through that. Okay, give Ellie a stab wound to the side. There we go. Now they feel even.
Yeah, yeah, because even as that moment happened, it was sort of like, oh, okay, she's just all of a sudden now she's injured and she's on the verge of death. There's a bit of a thing that kind of annoyed me throughout this game, that most of the big moments happen as you're going through doors and squeezing through gaps and stuff like that. And I get why they have to do that, because like in order to make sure the narrative progresses properly, you got to sort of funnel people into these moments. But yeah, it did towards the end of the game, I started to realize that, you know, anytime I was about to go through a gap, I'm like, okay, something could happen here because that seems to be where everything happens. And I don't know. I didn't mind that the fight felt impactful at the end. And, you know, when Ellie's there holding Abby under the water, I was sitting there going, I don't like doing this. I felt gross about doing it because I wanted to see Abby survive. I knew what Ellie was doing was totally wrong. So I guess like in trying to make us feel these things, I think they absolutely did nail that. It's just, again, it's just far too long. We're 30 hours in at this point, or I was at least, so I was just ready for it to be over.
Yeah, with that ending, like, where he's holding Abby underneath the water, I was sitting there like, all right, I'm just waiting for you to not kill her now, because, I was sitting there like, they're not going to kill her, There we go, they're not killing her. Like, I think that was only for one split second. I was like, okay, you're holding on. You're holding on to that really long. Are you actually going to go through with it? It's like, okay. Yeah. Like, maybe it's a weird thing to go, you didn't follow through with it. Especially with how Ellie's ending eventually ends up where she loses everything. Because the end result of revenge leaves you with nothing in the end. Like, specifically where it's, she's lost Dina. She's lost Dina, the baby. Like they've gone from the farmhouse when she returns, and the fact that she's also lost two of her fingers, so she can no longer play the guitar. The last thing that Joel pretty much gave to her, which like I think that's probably out of everything. That's probably what hurt me the most. Where it's like she can no longer play the song that Joel taught her. I was like, I think that emotionally hit me more than anything else. Out of it.
Because that was one of the main ways throughout the game that she'd sort of have a connection to Joel. It was the motif throughout the game. Yeah, I thought that was well done, but yeah, I guess the way they did it was kind of not. She could have lost her fingers in the final that fight that Abby and her had. You know what I mean, as well too. And look, and the whole the kids leaving and the wife and the kid leaving. I guess even that's a bit of a trope as well at this point.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
What's to stop her from tracking him down and being like, give me one last chance? I don't know. It doesn't feel that sort of final to me. But yeah, losing those fingers, you can't grow those back. That's it. That's it. Game over.
I think it was a fine, I could say, experiment. They're trying something different with the narrative, how to construct a game narrative. I don't think it worked too well. And hopefully they learn from this and take some of the criticism of the game was just too long in certain sections. Stopping the game halfway and restarting with a new character just doesn't really work that well. Majority of people, from at least I understand it, did the narrative or were okay with it. And as you didn't have to like all the choices they did, narrative like Joel dying and stuff, but. You know, I think it's fine. And if you don't like it, great. I'm glad that I played it. It's not 10 out of 10 material. I say about 7, mainly because of that restart. The narrative is good. Characters are good. Animations are fucking top notch. Graphics are top notch. It's just a shame to get all that. They slaved the developers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
100%. It sucks to know, for a game that's too long, you know, that's if they'd cut a lot out and a lot of that crunch, then the game might have been a better length.
Yeah, and we had talked about this on your podcast, Reviews to News. I know this is it, but a different section of it. I don't know when this comes out, but Ghost of Tsushima... look at that. I don't know how they treat their employees, but they don't have as amazing animation stuff. But I'm more okay with that because I at least hope they didn't slave their team behind that. And you know, it's not doesn't have to, it's nice to have those animations. It's fantastic, as you're saying, but you know, it doesn't have to. You don't have to. That's just a nice extra if they can do it.
Well, if you want to do that, just change the scope of your game. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be this 30-hour game if you want to focus more on the animations. It's just, it's all about scope, really, isn't it? Like,
I think, well, how long was Last of Us 2? Eventually 40 plus hours? I can't remember.
It was a bit, for me, I did everything I could in that game. Like, I read every piece of paper I found and did as many of the collectibles as I could without, like, looking at a guide. And I clocked in at about 28, 29 hours, something like that. Hmm. Yeah, but, and look, I think what you were touching on about the narrative before, like, I've complained a lot, but I think that's just because in the spoilers was where all of my complaints basically have been about this game. Like, my spoiler-free section was way more glowing about this game. And yeah, as much as I've complained about the narrative, it's still the best video game narrative, in my opinion, released this year, that I've played this year. I did play A Plague's Tale: Innocence earlier this year, and I did enjoy that narrative probably a bit more. But that game was released last year, so yeah. So I still really love the narrative in Last of Us Part Two, and the characterization. Fantastic. These characters felt so real, and as you said, the animations and the visuals. It was an achievement of a game. It does suck that they crunched their employees to do it, and hopefully we see a change in the culture over at Naughty Dog there in the future. But some of the cool moments, just to quickly touch on in the game that I didn't get to touch in spoilers, like all the sort of truck sequences, particularly the first one where you're in that car with Jesse, first running away from the WLF, and then the infected start attacking you as well too. Fucking awesome. That was really well done. A lot of fun. And the truck sequence with Abby was also cool, where you get ambushed by the Seraphites. And the moment where you fight the cool blob thing from Inside. I don't know if you ever played Inside, but it was basically like the Last of Us infected, you know, the big blob.
I remember that thing. I think I died quite a few times to that thing.
I thought it was a really cool design and a fun fight, but it essentially just came down to what, like, you do with a bloater, and you just run away and keep shooting it and throwing shit at it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, still a really cool moment. There were so many cool moments in that game. It's a fucking awesome game. But is there anything else that you have left to say on The Last of Us Part Two?
Not much. The one point I'm just going to go back to that about the whole playing Abby way after Ellie was that, meeting her friends. I can't remember any of the names because, it's me. I can't remember names.
Owen and Mel were the couple.
Yeah, and just learning about, it's hard to feel for any of the other side characters in Abby's story, where it's I think I end up liking one or two of them, but I'm just like, I know you're dead. So there's no point in me really putting any investment into learning your character, because you're dead.
Yeah, and so, not to mention, that's the reason why they had to shoe in all these flashbacks to give the moment when Owen and Mel dies more gravitas, having to use flashbacks in order to give moments in your game gravity, you shouldn't have to do that. You should be able to just play the story as it is, with the linear timeline, and still have impact. Anyway, I don't know. Yeah, I was not a fan of that. That's why I think if they staggered the days, it could have worked a lot better, because you see Abby interact with them, and then the next day you're there as Ellie stabbing him. It's going to give so much more impact to that moment. Whereas, when I played through as Abby, I'm just like, okay, I'm pretty sure that person dies, but I don't know, because I can't even remember their name because it was like 10 hours ago. It didn't have a lot of impact, and it just sort of made it drag a bit more. Anyway, anything else left to say?
I think that's it. I think we've gone quite in depth.
No worries. I think I got everything off my chest that I wanted to get off my chest, which is fantastic. It felt very therapeutic to do this. But thanks so much for joining me for this special spoiler episode of News to Reviews. Tell the people where they can find everything you do and the Inconsolables does, and a bit about what you do as well.
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at ThunderMaceAUS, ThunderMaceAUS. I can't even spell that at some points. Twitch streaming is on off at the moment because I've been working 12-hour shifts at my job, so it's been here and there. So it's better just to watch on Twitter, see if you want to see it and that. I play a variety of different games, but I just love so many different types of games. I'm from the Inconsolables podcast. We talk about games, news, the industry, and generally what games we've been playing that week. There's four of us. We've got Andrew, which is software designer. Sammy, which he has practiced. He's a software designer as well for games and does a bit of music production. And Miss Lante, a streamer. So we've got a nice variety of different viewpoints, and we have a large variety of different tastes in games. So you can definitely find lots of different styles of games what we're talking about on that show. You can find us on pretty much anything really. Spotify, Lipsync, Podchaser. We're part of the 8-Bit Collective. So we're pretty much anywhere. I'm pretty sure if you Google us, we come up pretty much straight away, the Inconsolables. That's at least how I've checked it up.
Bloody oath. And I'm a massive fan of the Inconsolables. I've been listening to them for a long time now. You definitely check them out. They're bloody awesome. The News to Reviews crew, Lockie and I, we actually joined them for episode 189 titled Balls Deep in Goop. It was a lot of fun. We were all having a few drinks and having a good old time. We talked about The Last of Us in that one then as well too. So
I believe so, yes.
Definitely go check out The Inconsolables. And if you want to check out, you want to tell us anything you thought about this special spoiler episode. It's the first time doing one of these bonus spoiler episodes, so I want to know what you think. So please send your feedback to news2reviewspodcast@gmail.com. You can also hit us up on all these socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Twitter is the best place to keep track of everything we are doing. Our Twitter handle is @news2reviews, and that's with a number 2 instead of the word 2. But yeah, thank you very much, everyone, for joining us for this special spoiler episode. Everyone, take care of yourselves and take care of one another.
All right, thank you very much.